Terry, our next guest has a pretty impressive resume when it comes to sporting administration. Former boss of the Rugby Union Players Association, former chief executive of the Western Force and Rugby Western Australia, and executive director of the Sydney University Sport Department. And he is now the boss of the New South Wales Waratahs, the defending Super Rugby champions. We're very lucky to have Greg Harris on the line. G'day, Greg.
Thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. How's the first week been in the new job?
Rather busy, actually, as one would expect. doesn't matter where you come from. There's always new people to meet and things to learn. So that's a process I'm going through.
Mate, a couple of rounds in, you've got to hit the ground running, don't you? There's no warm-up period.
No, well, I think it would have been better if somebody had been employed earlier, but, I mean, that's not the big. Things are what they are, and you play them as you can. So, there's a lot of challenges.
The Waratahs won the Super Rugby title last year. It was an important win for Australian rugby, not least because they finally won a Super Rugby title, but also because of how they played the game. What can the Waratahs do as an organisation to capitalise on that and make them more appealing to fans and sponsors and to get people following the game of rugby union?
Well, I think you said we're in the entertainment business. I mean, there are a whole lot of stakeholders there who are, some people use the term rusted on supporters, but you have to increase your market and you have to have an entertainment style of play. And that's what the club's been able to do. It's entertaining, but it also has to be successful because we're in a very competitive sports market in Sydney. And as you all know, people love winners.
Absolutely.
So, you're only as good as your next game.
That Sunday afternoon slot seems to be very, very popular with the kids, mate, which makes it popular with the families.
Yes, because I think it's a blend of things there too, though. It's important to get people out to games because, on one hand, the great television coverage that you have through Fox Sports provides a good medium for people to be able to sit at home and watch it without having to get out of their chairs. But
that's right.
The real challenge is to have a combination of that and also an entertainment package that actually differentiates itself from the TV. So they're things that I've outlined to our staff and say, well, look, how do we do this and how do other people do it successfully in our industry?
You're a former boss of the Players Association. Now you're on the other side of the equation. How are you going to go when it comes to contract negotiations?
Very well, I imagine.
Let's say some relationships I bring with me might be able to help me get the foot in the door. But at the end of the day, the substance of your negotiations is what really counts. I don't see myself actually as being on the other side. As somebody said to me the other day, it'll be interesting to negotiate with you now. You've got a different cap on your head. I said, well, it's the same head. And it's the health of the game and the financial viability of the game which actually pays the players. If the game actually has its overall income reduced, then the players haven't got game hasn't got the capacity to pay for the players. And we operate in an international competitive player market space. So, look, of course there are differences, but at the end of the day, the overall interest is the welfare of the game. And I suppose in taking this challenge on, for this role and challenge, is a key one in Australian rugby. So, it's probably stop making comments and start getting on and doing something to help it.
You talk about the health of the game. It's been a topic of conversation when it comes to rugby union for quite some time now, more so than ever with the alleged financial issues that the game's been facing, although that sort of changes with this new TV deal for Sansa. We keep hearing about big name players, even sort of middle tier players leaving the game to go and take money in French rugby and other places overseas. How do you stop that tide? How do you make it more attractive for young rugby players to want to aspire to play for the Waratahs?
Look, it's an easy thing to say. You grow your business and you've got a greater capacity to be able to pay your players, but I think it comes down to broader factors than just payment. The opportunity to play for your country. If you look at you look at other people, and you have to have some flexibility attached to your player contracting system. But at the end of the day, you can't actually cannibalise your industry here and have all of your good players playing overseas and none playing domestically. I think you have to actually be smart about how you contract your players. What other factors there are, and not all people are the one. I mean, some guys will want to travel and experience a different lifestyle.
Sure.
Others will do it purely for the money because they don't have, let's say, a high income earning career once they finish playing football. So I think you have to be selective as to how you tailor your contracting and your relationships with the individual players. There's no one simple solution to this. You know, the key to all these things is having a relationship and a good communication platform to be able to discuss things with the players on.
Greg, any chance that Michael Checker could continue in the dual role, or is it just a foregone conclusion that he will leave the Waratahs?
No, I think there's more chance of you coaching the Waratahs and Checker doing two jobs as of next year. I mean, it was an unfortunate set of circumstances under which Ewan left.
Yeah.
But I suppose a little bit similar to my appointment. It was a fairly needs-based appointment, and that was the same with Check. So I think it was a pretty good compromise by both the RU and Waratah Rugby to be able to have Check do both jobs. But there is a conflict there for him, a conflict of interest to a certain degree. And also, mate, there's only one Michael Check, and you can't split him around too far.
No.
And other people, it doesn't matter who it is, if somebody leaves the organisation, somebody else steps into the breach, and they will have a different way of handling things and managing things. And that's our responsibility, to put a system in place that's going to be the right people and also a sustainable culture created. You know, he's got his own culture, and we want to hold on to those, you know, all the great things that he's actually brought to this club. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to put their own, let's say, slant on that. But we'll hold on to what I hope.
Mate, ex-rugby league player, ex-Aussie rules player, rugby union executive, you're at home on a Saturday night. The Waratahs are not playing. The AFL is on. A rugby union match is on. And the Sharkies are playing.
I'd go out for dinner with my wife.
I knew you'd get out of it. That's why you're an executive. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, cheers, Ruth. Thanks very much.
See you, mate. Greg Harris there. Remarkable.